Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. By sacrifices of animals, ordinary human beings will worship you gorgeously with various paraphernalia because you are supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. Purport. Oh, sorry, we should do the purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, kamastaste hita jnana prapadyante na devataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto the demigods. Therefore, the word manusya means human beings. Here refers to one who does not know the actual goal of life. Such a person wants to enjoy the material world by taking birth in a highly elevated family with the benefits of education, beauty, and immense wealth, which in this material world are desirable. One who has forgotten the real aim of life may worship Goddess Durga, Maya Shakti, under various names for different purposes and in different places. As there are many holy places for the worship of Krishna, there are also many holy places in India for the worship of Durga Devi or Maya Devi, who took birth as the daughter of Yashoda. After cheating cancer, Maya Devi dispersed herself to various places, especially in Vidya Chala, to accept regular worship from ordinary men. A human being should actually be interested in understanding Atma Tattva, the truth of Atma, the spirit soul, and Paramatma, the supreme soul. Those who are interested in Atma Tattva worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasmin Vijanyat Sarva Evam Vijanatam Bhavati. However, as explained in the next verse of this chapter, those who cannot understand Atma Tattva, Apasyantam Atma Tattvam, worship Yoga Maya in her different features. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.2 says, Strotavyad Din Rajendra Nirnam Santi Sahasrasya Apasyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Griha Medhinam. Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. Those who are interested in remaining in this material world are not interested in spiritual salvation, have many duties, but for one who is interested in spiritual salvation, the only duty is to surrender fully unto Krishna, Sarva Dharma Prichija Mamekam Saranam Raja. Such a person is not interested in material enjoyment. Let's read the translation again. By sacrifices of animals, ordinary human beings will worship you gorgeously with various paraphernalia, because you are supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. So, before I start, I just humbly ask for your blessings. I'm not such a qualified speaker, so I can speak something that's pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and the devotees here. I wrote a few notes, because I have a very bad memory. So, this particular verse is discussing some of the glories of Yoga Maya, who is being discussed in her form as of Maya, Mahamaya in this particular verse. So, if we look at the translation, the first thing, what's been happening in this part of the Bhagavatam, I'll just come to. Okay. We've been talking about the function that Krishna's asked Yoga Maya to arrange for the transfer of Balaram, Baladev, Shankarsan, there's some details that I wouldn't want to comment on this probably at this stage. From the womb of Devaki, Vasudev's wife, to the womb of Rohini, and otherwise of Vasudev, who's hiding or living in the home of Nandamaraj out of fear of Kamsa. We can see what from this particular verse and the previous ones, what a competent and intimate devotee of Krishna, Yogamaya, is. Not that she's been empowered by Krishna to do this extraordinary service, you know, to transfer Balaram. So in this particular verse, we see that Krishna is explaining one of the functions of Yogamaya in the material world, where she's worshipped as Goddess Durga or as Maya Shakti. So he says in the translation, she is supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. Yeah, and then if you look at the word for word, it goes, Sarva Karma Vara Ishvarim. Yeah, because you are the best of the demigods who can fulfill all material desires. So, how powerful Yogamaya is, you know? The best of the demigods fulfilling material desires. Yeah? Maybe I should have a word with her. You know? So one may think that if I have a problem, let me just go to Durga Devi, you know? But from the point of view of a devotee who's trying to surrender to Krishna, as we'll discuss in this class today, this may not be the best course of action. So, first point, what's some difference in the services that Yogamaya does when she's represented in the form of Maya, Mahamaya? I was just recollecting my understanding of this. I stand corrected, because there's some fine details that I didn't have chance to look into or inquire from any senior devotees. So Yogamaya in the spiritual world is enhancing the ras, the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Why is she doing that? To increase the transcendental pleasure and attraction between the two, between the devotees and Krishna. So it's a very nice service to have, no? To be able to do that. For example, you see Mother Yashoda, when she sees Krishna as a little boy, she's very protective of him, you know? She's just seeing a little boy that she has to look after, yeah? Even though he's avatari, you know, all other avatars are coming from him. In fact, one of his avatars is Nrisingadev, you know, who gives protection to all the devotees. But Mother Yashoda is thinking, I should protect Krishna. I should look after him, my little boy, you know. So, and again we see Nanda Maharaj, when he sees his son, he sees him as his son, Krishna. He doesn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna gets his shoes in the morning, you know, and places them on his head, and he takes it to his father, touches his father's feet, you know. So if Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna with awe and reverence, how could he allow Krishna to serve him like that? You know? Or conversely, if Krishna was aware of his greatness as God, how would he carry Nanda Baba's shoes on his head? You know, I'm God, why would I do this? You know? So Yogamaya is arranging that somehow the devotees and Krishna are transcendently bewildered. Again, would Subal and the other cowherd boys jump on Krishna's shoulders so they can have a friendly ras? Can Krishna really lose a wrestling match? So if Yogamaya was not allowing them to be absorbed in the consciousness of their spiritual body for the pleasure of Krishna, how would these things go on? So Yogamaya is facilitating or allowing Krishna and the devotees to be absorbed in serving one another with love. The question comes, is Krishna influenced by Yogamaya, his energy? my current understanding, I can be stand corrected, is that yes, he is. Some may say different, so I'm not so qualified to the fine details of those. So if anyone has understanding, I'd appreciate it in the class. But the main principle is there's a bewildering potency which enhances remembrance of the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Now we come to Yogamaya in the material world, where she's a transformation of Mahamaya. You know, here the function is to bewilder you into thinking that you are the body. In the spiritual world, you're bewildered in thinking you're the body in a different way, a spiritual body you identify with. Hence, we're endeavoring more than necessary. I mean, we're just meant to keep body and soul together, but to enjoy the bodily conception of life. And that's what it means to be a materialist. Yeah? That we forget that we're the soul, and we strongly identify with our body. You know, that we're thinking, somehow I'll enjoy through this body and be happy. You know? So Prabhupada, in the first part of his purport, is discussing this point. He's saying in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, kamastastha hrittagyana prapadyante naya devataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto the demigods. Yeah. So this is the problem, that when our mind is filled with material desires, we're thinking, how can I get them satisfied? And that will make me happy. So the intelligence has been stolen by material desires, you know. We see it. You know, sometimes I just want to relax. I'm a nice sleep. And when we wake up, we're not feeling very Krishna conscious, or we try and do our service afterwards, and we can't quite do it in a very crisp and clean consciousness, you know. Or even the other side, we sleep too little in the hope of being very renounced, and then we can't concentrate on a service again. The mind is wandering all around the place. The intelligence is strong enough to control the mind. Same thing, I can relate. Eat too much, you know, and then that can be followed by sleeping too much. So the time you're thinking, yeah, I'll have just a little bit more prasadam. Yeah, it'll be. And you eat that prasadam, then you try and do your service nicely. Excuse me, sir, you know. It's very difficult, you know. So, and the same, you eat too little, you'll be doing your service, and you're thinking about when I'm going to eat next all day. Yeah. So trying to enjoy the body either way, not too much or not too little, they can have their adverse effects on trying to remember Krishna. So a yogi is someone who's balanced in their eating, in their sleeping, in their recreation, and so on. So, same with defending, if we're talking about the subject, you know. Someone's defending their point of view or their position in the material society, how they'll remember Krishna. How they have time to remember Krishna. And they're praying to the demigods, you know, make me powerful and strong so I can defeat my enemies. Then what will happen? You'll be powerful and strong and defeat your enemies. Will you depend on Krishna? Very difficult to do this, the two together. So, in this particular verse, Prabhupada's also stressing the word manusyaya, meaning, he's referring to the human beings, but he's talking about ordinary human beings, which is the general mass, they've forgotten the actual goal of life, yeah? Because he's saying in the purport, such a person wants to enjoy the material world by taking in a highly elevated, taking birth in a highly elevated family with the benefits of a good education, beauty, immense wealth, which in this world are very desirable. Everyone would like to say, you know, I'm from so-and-so family. You know. This is my bank account. This is my beautiful wife or husband, you know. Aren't I great? And then they see someone else that's of a similar caliber, and it's, envious, you know. How you remember Krishna if you're doing all these things? Because that's the bodily conception of life. And they're praying to Maya Devi for these things. Sometimes even devotees may secretly pray, you know. So we have to watch our consciousness. What we should not get bewildered by these external things. So the real goal of life is to solve the problem of birth, old age, disease and death, you know. But as long as we're identifying with the body externally, then we have to take another birth again to carry on living out those desires which are separate from the desire of serving the Lord Krishna. So just in relation to this work, in this particular topic, one very nice verse comes up that Queen Kunti is discussing in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.26. Excuse my Sanskrit, but for my own purification here. Janmasvarya Srutibhi Edhamam Mahapuman Naivritya Abhihatamvai Tva Kinshna Gocharam. So she says, my lord, your lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respect to parentage, great opulence, high education, bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So those last words, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Bhakti is about rendering service to God with a nice mood. You know? So here's the real problem. If you're cultivating material desires in the hope of happiness, how will you approach God with sincere feeling? So there's a couple of things as purport I'd like to just read and discuss a little bit because they're important in connection to this verse. So Srila Prabhupada, he's saying, being materially advanced means taking a birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences. You know? So we can see if we have some tendencies towards these things, there's a little bit of madness in there, you know, still. So we have to pray to the Lord to free us from it. This is known as advancement of material civilization. But what's the result, actually? This is the important point. What's the result of actually becoming like this? You become, what happens? Prabhupada's famous words, become puffed up. And then what happens? We have to be smashed by the material energy, you know? So both are going, so working very hard for those things, and they're temporary, and they intoxicate a person, yeah? You become artificially puffed up. So, and then how when you're in that state of consciousness, Prabhupada's words, yeah? Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name by addressing him feelingly. O Govinda, O Krishna, I will cry out to Krishna if we're enamored by these things. These are warnings for devotees that Prabhupada's making. Yeah? Then to go a stage further, we also hear many times, you know, very nice purport here. It's said in Shastra that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Seems like a good thing, yeah, to be Hare Krishna. But there's always small print, you know, so we'll read that in a minute. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. Yeah? But so and Prabhupada's giving the assurance, this is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. He's assuring us it's so powerful it can do that. Yeah? But here comes the small print now. There is a quality of such utterance also that's necessary. Yeah? It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, or as a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot do so. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I'm doing all right, so no problem, Hare Krishna. But when you actually feel that I'm really dependent on the Lord, He's my maintainer and protector, He'll take care of everything, then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, we'll cry from our hearts. So we have to aspire for that quality of chanting, which means we have to watch the propensity within the heart to want to accumulate these material opulences which make us become puffed up. So he says, a materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he's incapable of uttering the name in quality. Yeah? Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, and attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. So the general process that we're looking at is to decrease the degree of fever so that we will become devotional in our mood. That's what's necessary, yeah? And some kind words of assurance from Srila Prabhupada. He goes, sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. Yeah? This is no discouragement. So when we're somehow being smashed by the material energy and some of the opulences that we're attached to, you know, our intelligence or our money or our position are being taken from us, we can, then a devotee comes and says, this is Krishna's kindness, Prabhu. And you're thinking, Krishna's kindness? How can that be, you know? So, you know, here it's being inspired because then you can feelingly call out to Krishna. Yeah, you're the doer, you're the controller, you're my maintainer. Please help me. You know? So very important. So the principle of life is that we should decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads to be more and more illusioned in the aim of life. That's this. So here we see Maya Devi, or Yoga Maya. She has a thankless task, because what's she doing? She's sifting out those that sincerely want to serve Krishna by giving the lashes of Maya. So those lashes, they're actually good for us, because they brought. It's good to see people at some point as well. Since that of a blur, you know. So to bring people to the point that they'll surrender to God, you know. As out on Sankirtan on the 31st of December, we were in a place called Harlow. I stopped one lady. First time she went past me, then I stopped her. And she looked like she wanted to stop. I was like, we're having a tough day. And what happened, Jai Shri Radha Gokul Nanda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gaur Nitai ki. So what actually happened was, we're having a tough day, so we half-heartedly tried to stop her. She turned her face because she's interested, so tried again and stopped her. Then we started talking. I showed her the books about yoga and meditation. She seemed positively interested. I said, just give a donation. She gave me a sizable donation. So I went to my box, gave her Gita as well as the three books she's already had. And she was very, very carefully listening to, these books, they're teaching you how to become happy, peaceful. She's listening. Then I turned around and said, why are you so serious, you know, like, because I understand I don't actually have to do much to inspire this person to take this book. They've already been inspired by someone. So then she told me, she said, I went through some crisis about 3 months ago. I said, oh, really? So then I carried on talking. I was saying, you know, like, I started to explain this part of the philosophy, that adversity is actually a chance to actually come to our senses and understand what the real goal of life is. And she was nodding her head very clearly at me. I was thinking, wow. You know, it's like, dangerous territory to go on the street with someone, you know, and put them off and they're getting angry and they'll walk off and not take a book, you know. But I could see that somehow I was inspired. This person's really appreciating Srila Prabhupada's message. So then some other place you're standing is cold. And had given her some japa beads. She'd even chanted Maha Mantra together. And she said, I'd like to chant, and so on. So then I said, we'll just talk a little bit more on the other side. And I said, you know, what was that? I couldn't help. I was just wondering, what kind of adversity made someone think like this? So I said, madam, you don't mind me just asking you, what was the adversity you went through that made you come to this point of consciousness where you're... And she'd even told me, then she started to tell me that, she said, well, actually, when I was young, she was like a 40-year-old lady, my mother died when I was very young. And then she said, and then on top of that, my father committed suicide. She said, but I carried on my life, but then 3 months ago, somehow it got on top of me, I had a complete mental breakdown, she said. And she said, I was very angry with God. She said, I was very angry with God. I said, oh. And then she said, but after some time of thinking through things carefully, I realized the only person I really have in this world is God. So she said, I went back to, I'm a Christian, so I went back to church and I've started to read the Bible. But I'm really trying to understand who God is and so on. And so I already told her that it's the same God, he's just known by many names. And she happily agreed. Sometimes a Christian may, you know, your God's different from ours, you know. Considering God's the greatest and he can only be one, that's a difficult thing, but anyway. So then I said, yes. I said, like, yeah, adversity, you can see the lashings of the material energy. It's like a father. He has to chastise his children out of love. It's not out of hatred. So he's arranging one of his pure devotees, Maya Devi, to make these arrangements so that we'll come to, that we'll actually turn our face to him. So I was carefully explaining this philosophy just to this lady as we were talking. She's agreeing. And she'd got some revelation from within her own heart that, yes, I want to serve God. And I showed a picture, just to make sure I showed a picture of the Paramatma. I said, he's watching everything we're doing. And he's making arrangements for all of us. And she's agreeing again. Yes, I agree. And then she said, yeah, this morning I was praying. I want to know more about you, God. Because every morning, she's so sincere, she prays in the morning and meditates and does the same in the evening. So I said, yeah, this. So your prayers, this is how kind God is, making some more arrangement so you can get some more knowledge. So she had the Gita, she had the Ishapanishad, you know, she had Beyond Birth and Death, you know. So she goes, yeah, I'll read these, I'm open to it. So you can see that Maya's task is a thankless task, but she's doing it as service to Krishna. And then when someone, and that will carry on with the devotee through the purification process to the stage when she'll take over as Yogamaya and someone will start to remember Krishna and they'll forget about his awe and reverence and so on and want to serve him with love. So, just some of the thoughts I had on this verse. So, going back to the purport. So we go on, one who forgets the real aim of life may worship Goddess Durga, Maya Shakti, under various names for different purposes in different places. Yeah? So, for someone that wants to forget Krishna, Krishna is not interfering with our free will. He's allowing us to do what we want. You know? So, but the real goal of life is that we want to be, we want to actually become Krishna's servants. Yeah. Well, the solution to this problem of birth, old age, disease, and death is to become happily situated as Nitya Krishna Das, not identifying with our body. So we see that important for the devotee to cultivate that consciousness and not get distracted by all these material desires. So the last point I'd like to discuss is, so we see that many of us we aren't purely motivated by serving Krishna. So how are we going to get rid of our material desires? Yeah? So very nice in that same verse about the demigods being bewildered, but those that are materialistically minded being bewildered and going to the demigods to fulfill their material desires. Srila Prabhupada, he says some very nice things. He goes, one, those who are freed from all material contaminations surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in his devotional service. Then the second category, as long as material contamination is not completely washed off, they are naturally non-devotees. Third category, but even those who have material desires and who resort to the Supreme Lord are not so much attracted by the external nature. Because of approaching the right goal, they soon become freed from all material lust. So, again, we can see here, it's discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam that whether one is a pure devotee and is free from all material desires, or is full of material desires, or desires liberation from material contamination, he should in all cases surrender to Vasudeva and worship him. This is a famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarya di tivrena bhakti yogena vajet purusha param. So this is the important point for the devotee, that whether he's full of material desires, or he has desires for liberation, or he's free from material desires, that he should surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna. Yeah. So Prabhupada explains that less intelligent people who've lost their spiritual sense take shelter of the demigods, yeah, for immediate fulfillment of material desires. Yeah. So generally such people, they won't go to the Supreme First Reality of Godhead because they're influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Yeah? They want the result without having to surrender too much. So they'll follow the rules and they'll get their desires fulfilled, but the real satisfaction of the heart won't come. And at some stage, because at least they're following a system, they may come in contact with the devotees. And because they're following a personal process, they may be able to understand who's the source of the power of the demigods, Krishna. So in this regard, how does a pure devotee think? He thinks like this, Prabhupada says, but a pure devotee knows that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the master of all. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's stated, Adi 1.4.142, it said, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabde Britya. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is master, and all others are servants. Therefore, a pure devotee never goes to the demigods for satisfaction of material needs. He depends on the Supreme Lord, and the pure devotee is satisfied with whatever he gives. So, the point that's being stressed by Srila Prabhupada is we should develop that faith that really Krishna will look after us. I mean, if he's, like for example, it's described that there's the minister and then there's his different seats, like in his cabinet, the different, his different MPs, you could say. So someone taking care of the rain, someone taking care of the sunshine, you know, someone taking care of the oceans. They're different demigods, but they're Krishna's servants, you know. So if someone's praying to them, they have to get sanction from Krishna before they bestow their benedictions. So, important point, one cannot obtain any result from the demigods without getting sanction from the Supreme Lord. That's the point, you know. So, in the same purport for this verse, it's talking about what it means to be broad-minded. So he says, Udaryadi means one who has a broad outlook. People with desires for material enjoyment worship small demigods. And such intelligence is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita, Hityagyana, the intelligence of one who has lost his senses. Yeah? One cannot attain any result from demigods without getting sanction from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, a person with a broader outlook can see that the ultimate authority is the Lord, even for material benefits. Under the circumstances, one with a broader outlook, even with desires for material enjoyment or for liberation, should take to the worship of the Lord directly. And then Srila Prabhupada's recommendation, yeah? And everyone, whether an akama or sakam or mokshakam, should worship the Lord with great expedience. That means very enthusiastically we should try and serve the Lord. And so this is the point that for the devotee, rather than become more and more bewildered by the bodily conception of life, he takes shelter of Krishna, and Krishna will make all arrangements for him to give up his material desires, and he'll remove his material desires. There's no need for what's called an extraneous effort there, is described, you know. So then, last couple of points. Srila Prabhupada, he's going back to those that, what does he say here? He says, as explained in the next verse in this chapter, those who cannot understand Atma Tattva worship Yogamaya in her different features. And he quotes a verse. He quotes the verse, Strotav Yadini Rajendra Nirnam Shanti Sahasrasya Apas Yatam Atma Tattvam Veshu Griha Medhinam. So he's discussing this point. He says that the translation is, those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in the human society, O Emperor. So the point that's being discussed here is how someone will become distracted if they're materially engrossed. And it's discussed in the purport of this verse how actually there's two cultures. There's the cult of the householder. One of the cultures of the householder is the grihasta, yeah, and the other is called the grihamedi. Yeah, so the grihastas, their conception of living together is that those who live together with wife and children, they live transcendently to realize the absolute truth, the ultimate truth, Krishna. So they're living in the service of the Lord together. But however, the grihamedis, yeah, those who live only for the benefit of their family and the extended family. And thus, what happens with grihamedis? Because they're cultivating the bodily conception of life rather than seeing that they're all servants of Krishna. They become envious of each other. So this is again the problem of cultivating material desires. So very nice definition of what it means to be Medhi. Srila Prabhupada very clearly say Medhi indicates jealousy of others. So then he very nicely explains, the Grihamedis, being interested in family affairs only, are certainly envious of others. Therefore, one Grihamedi is not on good terms with another Grihamedi. Hope it doesn't sound familiar. And in the extended form, one community, society or nation is not on good terms with another. Because everyone's got their selfish interests. They're thinking about their family, the extended family, my family's better than yours, and we have more intelligent people in our family, we have a bigger car than you, my house is bigger than yours, my wife is more beautiful than yours, my husband earns more money than you. So naturally they'll be fighting. But if you're identifying as a devotee of the Lord, that yes, we're all Krishna's servants, you know, see how fortunate they are. By Krishna's grace, he's given them that opulence to use in the Lord's service, you know. A non-envious attitude has to be cultivated. So the grihasta, he's cultivating this attitude. So the real human form of life, as we as being stressed in this particular purport, and we'll wind up, is actually to surrender to Krishna and render service to the Lord. And we'll just touch on the last verse that Prabhupada is Sarva Dhamma Parichaya Mamekam Saranam Raja. He discusses. So, two points that are very, very important that come from that particular purport of that verse that I just like to talk about. Prabhupada says, now in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all processes that have been explained to him and he should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions. So if you surrender to Krishna, sinful reactions will be removed. For the Lord personally promises to protect him. Yeah. So, and then in the seventh chapter it said that only one who becomes free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Yeah. Thus one may think that unless he is freed from all sinful reactions, he cannot do the surrender process. So, I can't surrender, I've got so many desires. But no. Prabhupada again, he's stressing, whatever your situation, yeah? To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not freed from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need for strenuous efforts to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. So the point being that we have to develop that faith by associating with devotees that have that faith. And that way, gradually the material disease of being in the bodily conception of life and wanting and having this problem of birth, old age, disease and death will be vanquished. So, very simple. The process is by hearing Krishna's message and then chanting it, sharing it with others. Not only will we get purified, but others will get purified. We'll create a Krishna conscious atmosphere in which to get out of the clutches of Mahamaya and enter the clutches of Yogamaya. So I stop there. If there's any questions or corrections, I'm happy to take them.